T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit PitchHitRun.com today.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
Maybe Keefe's actually a Wiccan or a witch?
A witch is female.
I mean,
so
you could still be a male witch.
But it's called a warlock.
Is it?
Yep.
I believe warlocks are used in war.
Well, what do you think this is? A war against bad play.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Cole scores!
But I thought he's been good since he got here from day one. With the Taylor Hall we were hoping to get.
To Hall. Powers pass to Zekas. Closes and scores! Taylor Hall!
Andy Gresh.
Tim Tebow is expected to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh my God!
God is good. Let's go, baby.
Rich Keefe.
But if Aaron moved on, would it affect your future in Green Bay?
Potentially. I mean, that's my guy. Definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
What's that cheeseburger doing in there?
Big hot wieners!
On WEEI.
Wow. The Celtics conversation has definitely changed in the last 24 hours. We find out that Jaylen Brown is now done for the season. And this has now made the Celtics playoffs, I think, Keith, very, very interesting.
I think it's actually the automatic reaction was, oh, they're screwed. But they might have been screwed anyway. You might have already thought they were screwed.
Yes.
I think this is bad news, but for a different reason. Not bad news because their chances of them doing anything are less, at least in my opinion. Maybe yours is different. But it's because the idea of them running everybody back again, I think it's clearer now, and it's easier for Ainge to do that because, hey, things were coming together. We only had X number of games with all the guys together and X number of games with Evan Fournier and all this stuff. And, hey, and if Jaylen and Jason take another step forward next year, let's just bring the whole gang back together. You know what? I have a feeling they would have made a run in the playoffs, but we'll never know because Jaylen Brown was hurt. So they can twist themselves into that positive pretzel because Jaylen Brown was hurt now.
I know that was the prevailing thought of some on Twitter. I know in our group chat, whenever the news came down, that was the prevailing thought that Danny could just kind of run it back. And I could totally see that. Absolutely could totally see that, that would be the, whether you want to say reason, excuse, however you want to term it, that could happen. But I think before we get there, though, if I could use a phrase from Seinfeld, this will be an interesting sociological experiment on the basketball court because it's now all about Tatum in a lot of ways. And I just said it in the cross with Greg and Wiggy that what makes this interesting is that there's no more other guy out there that either the fans or the people in that locker room look at almost at the same level as Jason Tatum. Now Tatum's the stud. Tatum is the star. Tatum is the guy who now has to get everybody else involved. And I don't think this will necessarily, Rich, turn into the, well, look at what they did this postseason, and this is why they could now move on from Jaylen Brown and go get someone else. But if you think about it, I mean, one of the first things that we talked about on the old text string yesterday was who will be the starting lineup, right? And it looks like Kemba, Tatum, Fournier. I think Fournier will get the guy.
Yeah, like he did on Sunday, and he dropped 30 on him. So I think it'll be him and Smart, and if Time Lord's playing, don't
well,
you think?
And that's the thing. Like, is he Time Lord or is he part-time Time Lord
I
now?
Don't
what
know.
Do we have with this guy? Because that might, and again, talent for talent, Jaylen Brown is so much better. I understand, right? But when you think about the way this team is constructed, having Robert Williams III was a big piece of our thought process as the year evolved that this guy's going to have to play a critical role. Why'd they get rid of Daniel Tice? Because the Time Lord came on. Now if he's hurt and you're turning to, you know, hanging
More
out at
Tristan
the boom
Thompson.
Boom room. I mean, great. Instagram bring, Thompson. Bring a Kardashian and an Instagram model and make sure your lawyers sit in courtside.
I know. And I think the problem was going into the playoffs, you were hoping for, can Kemba or Fournier be that consistent third scorer?
Yeah.
And can the other one be the fourth? Well, now if Jaylen Brown's removed from the equation, one of those guys has to be two, one of those guys has to be three. It also means that everybody's favorite outside shooter, Marcus Smart, is going to take more shots.
That's right.
And that's not going to go well.
No, you
that's
wouldn't
not going to go well because no Jaylen Brown, that is, how, what is that, 18 shots a game or whatever it is for Jaylen on the year, that has to be replaced somewhere. And, yeah, hopefully Fournier, who's coming on a little bit, that'll be some of it. But I feel like it's more free reign for Smart. And I'm sure Smart looks around and goes, oh, we're missing 25 points a night. I got you guys. I got you. You're like, no, you don't. You don't. And he'll try it, and it'll just be a mess.
But don't you think in a weird way, if we were entertaining yesterday the thought of removing Jaylen Brown from this roster to go get someone else, that you're now getting a little bit of a look-see as to what that could be like, good, bad, or indifferent? Like, if you're Brad and Danny, aren't you sitting there saying, okay, we have bird rights on Fournier if we want to bring him back, and we see what this group looks like without Jaylen, and then it's, well, if we sort of tweak it a little bit and we maybe go get Bradley Beal and we bring him in, there's where this, like, I'm wondering if in a weird way, this is a blessing in disguise for the Celtics, only from the standpoint of you can start to visualize this basketball team without what feels like that tug of placating or taking care of Tatum and Brown.
See, I don't, because I feel like if you are going to trade Brown, you have to do it for somebody like Bradley Beal, which is another player who comes in and takes those 19 shots a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you don't have that. So it's going to get spread out. And this isn't, you know, if you said, was it 3 years ago,
yep,
if you just removed Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris and just said, all right, this is your group, let's see it. You don't have as many guys that want the ball. That would have been more of an experiment of, all right, is the chemistry changed? Because without Jaylen Brown, you're just taking a really high level, you know, B player, you know, the Robin, you're taking a high level version of that and you're not replacing with another guy that's there. So you might get, you know, a decent uptick. They might play well for a few games, right? Like they could win a couple of games without Jaylen Brown, but that's not what your team is going to be next year. You wouldn't trade him for a pile of draft picks and then say, all right, this is the roster
no,
that
no.
you have. You would want to bring in another all-star or all NBA type of player. So
But don't you have to take him off the court in part to kind of visualize this is where it can go? Like, I feel like we have sat here, and not the proverbial we, but we all as Celtic fans have sat here for 3 years now trying to figure out Jaylen and Jason. It's always been about those two. And not that I necessarily want it to go down to one per se.
Yeah, you can't.
But if we're sitting here thinking they need to reshuffle the deck and Jaylen Brown might be the guy that they send out the door, it just makes me wonder if from the creativity standpoint or from the Danny Ainge standpoint, if this gets him thinking, and maybe he does go the road of, okay, I might trade one guy for two B-level players because I know that Jason Tatum is at the point to where he can handle it, and you just sort of make the overall team a little deeper versus going out and getting a superstar. I'd rather have Bradley Beal.
Yeah, oh yeah,
but
for
it just makes me wonder, with this guy off the floor, can you now start to think about what life might be like without him?
See, I think the problem would be you then need Tatum's relationship with that other superstar player to develop, and that still would be an X factor. So, all right, hey, Tatum's the lead guy. Well, he's the lead guy most nights anyway, even when Jaylen Brown is on the floor. So now you remove Brown, and unless you think Evan Fournier or Kemba Walker can kind of fill that void, again, last year, Gordon Hayward missed a bunch of games, and when he did, you thought, all right, maybe Brown and Tatum can be more assertive because Hayward's gone. And, you know, whether they're, I think I would say the results there were probably mixed. But this year, just removing Brown, all it does to me is give Danny Ainge another excuse. Hey, how many minutes did all of our best players play? And in fact, none of the playoff games. So really, anything we do in the playoffs now is gravy. You know, because if they lose in the first round now, you say, well, what did you expect? You didn't have Jaylen Brown. Oh, so you played the Bucks in the first round and you didn't get swept. That feels like a win. Let's bring the whole group back.
God, I hope
that's
that.
My fear.
And as much as I might be on one extreme and you might be the other, you know, somewhere maybe in the middle lies the truth. But I still think there is opportunity for a different kind of evaluation, and we're going to get into it with you at 617-779-7937. How do you sort of see this? Is this opportunity? Is this a death blow to this team? Does this allow Danny, as Rich said, to just kind of be like, all right, we didn't have them together. We're just going to run it back. We'll get to your thoughts, Celtic fans, as to where you're at in this situation.
Because don't you think that if they had, maybe for the first time all year, a full roster,
yeah,
and they went into the playoffs with Kemba, Smart, Brown, Tatum, Time Lord in the starting lineup, and Fournier and Pritchard and Thompson and Nesmith coming off the bench,
yep,
and that, you're like, that's the best possible nine-man rotation you can have in the playoffs, and they lose in four or five games to Brooklyn, that has to be a, you know, light bulb turn on for Danny Ainge, and we need to do something.
Well, whereas COVID, now, you know.
Now, well, that's the thing, is now you go into it, and you're definitely not going to have Brown. Who knows, like, how many minutes, like, Time Lord's going to be able to go, and I just think it's going to be easier to make those excuses and be like, listen, you know, I know the record wasn't great, but, you know, Tatum and Brown are getting better, and every year you're obviously trying to tinker with the rest of the roster. I mean, it's why they... Think about it. They brought in Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague at the beginning of the year, and people were like, oh, this will be great. And, you know, it wasn't. One of the guys isn't even on the roster anymore. So they'll definitely try to tinker with those pieces. But like we hit on a lot yesterday, if you're not messing with Tatum, Brown, and to an extent, Walker, Smart, or Brad Stevens, then what are you really doing? You're not really changing the team if all five of those guys are back. And I feel like the injury just gives you that much easier of an excuse.
All right, so we will get into it with you. Celtic fans, is this the end as we know it, at least in terms of this year? You've kind of got the idea as to where we're at. We want to hear from you at 617-779-7937. By the way, you can also text the 37937. Our three T's coming up a little bit later on. Your constant interaction with the show via Twitch, via text, via Twitter. We compile all that and we roll it out for you at 1:30. By the way, Dork Podcast up at WEEI.com and the Odyssey.com app. I'm sure that there was a long talk and tears about Tawny Kitaen.
Yes, there was. There was a little retrospective for the late great Tawny Kitaen. We also hit on just like a real grab bag of movies and documentaries, including Mortal Kombat. So you're going to want to check that bad boy out.
Oh, yeah. From grab bag mm-hmm. to yam bag. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox take it yesterday against Baltimore, 4-1. Bats went quiet, although you get more good pitching and another good start. And we're going to examine that a little bit later on in terms of the whole five-inning phenomenon that seems to be going on with the Red Sox at this point. But you know, I mentioned the old yam bag, and it was not a good night for Xander Bogaerts.
He sets at his belt and throws, and Xander is hit on the left hip. He goes down into a heap, and it caroms off the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa. That got a bite of both of them. Still not pleasant. Where do you think that hit, Xander? Right in the rib cage, maybe?
Lower.
Perhaps a little bit lower, we hope, because that'd be really painful. He's got a smile on his face as he gets up.
Look at the replay. Right on the left thigh.
Was it?
A padded area anyway, but it won't hurt. And then it drilled the umpire, almost went down. Severino caught him, but Xander's got a big smile.
How is he smiling?
I don't know.
How are you smiling after that?
I don't know, but he got hit in the old Twig and Giggleberries. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
He got blasted in the old package. Yam bag, whatever you want to say. See, what we heard is not what we wanted.
No.
This is how it really should have sounded from Will and Joe.
He sets at his belt and throws, and Xander is hit on the left. He goes down into a heap, and it caroms off the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa. Still not pleasant. Where do you think that hit, Xander? Right in the maybe? Both of them.
Yeah, both of them.
Perhaps a little bit lower, we hope, because that'd be really painful. He's got a smile on his face as he gets up.
Look at the replay. Hey, right on the left.
A padded area anyway, but it won't hurt. And then it drilled the umpire, almost went down. Severino caught him, but Xander's got a big
the end there from Joe. I mean,
yeah, that was scary to see that. And then to see the replay, you're like, oh, my God.
And he tried to get out of the way, but it just grazed him in there. And for anybody who owns this equipment, you know what it's like. Even if you just get a little flick down there.
Just anywhere close.
You get the belly ache, and it's like,
90 mile an hour baseball.
Yeah, seriously. And the fact that Xander Bogaerts was even remotely laughing afterwards is insane.
Infielder, I feel like you have to wear protective equipment in there. Whereas if you're an outfielder, you might have gotten drilled.
You think you're just letting the boys hang?
Yeah, I think so.
Instead of covering them up?
Yeah. Like, I played outfield in high school and nobody's doing that. Right?
I was only, I played
infielders, you kind of have to.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, I only played until 10th grade, and then they were like, hey, you can get free golf in the summer if you join the golf team. And I was like, all right, there you go. I went and hit him straight.
But I feel like an outfielder might still be down at the plate.
Yeah.
Still.
That was definitely odd.
Yeah.
The description there, because I thought it was pretty clear. But then they're not in the ballpark.
Lower.
The ribs one.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we talked to Fleming last week about it, and, you know, calling it off the screen is not an easy thing to do, but holy smokes. But yeah, luckily, Bogaerts was fine.
We are going to get to the Bruins as well. Trust us, we didn't forget about the Bees, but tonight is sort of fait accompli. You're playing Washington for no reason.
I mean, really. I know.
They didn't even need to play this game.
You wish they didn't have to.
I think
both teams would agree to it. So
cross it off.
We'll see what the lineups look like and how that all goes about, but it's really just a...
Shimes and goal tonight for the Bruins.
Because last night was a real physical game. Last night wasn't one of those, hey, we're about to be in the playoffs soon, let's just kind of take it easy. Like, last night, both teams were kind of throwing their weight around, but I would expect a different story tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. And the Bruins won 3-2 in overtime against the Islanders. It cemented their matching up against Washington in the next round. That's not until Saturday. So we will definitely get to the Bees, because Red Sox deserve some attention, but in a lot of ways, it's the Celtics right now, because with the Bruins, hell, they're rounding into shape. Taylor Hall scores two more goals last night, ends up netting the game winner.
That one of them was sick.
Oh, the one on the goal line on the power play. Yeah. I mean, that's just a snipe.
Yeah.
And he just turned and looked and was like, yeah, all right, boys, there
Pretty
we go.
Good.
I think it was 5-on-3 power play.
Uh-huh.
So he was just like, yeah, whatever, I'm getting used to this now.
It just goes to show you how much a bad organization can suck the life out of a really talented player.
Great
and I
point.
Feel like it's in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally you get to see when that guy shakes free and goes somewhere else. You're like, oh my God, he's good. It's like when Randy Moss was with the Raiders, people are like, man, he must be done. And then he goes to the Patriots, like, oh, actually, no, he's the greatest receiver of this generation. I forgot how good he was. And Taylor Hall's the same way. When he had two goals with the Sabres, and you're just kind of like skating through, and you're like, ugh. Yeah, is this guy cooked? He's 29. Is he done? Shows up here, house of fire.
He's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And he might be recruiting a friend of his. And we will get to that a little bit later on, because, well, lots of people like to play for the Bruins. Lots of people want to play for the Bruins,
yeah,
it seems like.
And
when you see a guy, to your point, when you see a guy like Taylor Hall, who literally goes from the outhouse to the penthouse in his world, and you see the success and the fact that the guy is like smiling. Yeah, he's scoring goals. He's almost like laughing.
Oh, he said
now.
Last night that he never had more fun.
Yeah.
He's having the most fun of his life.
And it's more than just winning. It has to be, right? Because you can be in a winning situation, but if you're around a bunch of turds, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think he likes the group. They're winning, and he's playing well. So it's not like everybody's carrying him, and they're like, they're winning, and he's like out there still scuffling. Like, no, he's scoring goals. He's a part of a really productive line, and he's going to play in the playoffs, which he's only done a couple of times in his entire career.
Which is really amazing. Right. And I thought he would be the proverbial free agent to be. Oh, of course he's going to go on a hot run. That's an element of it.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. Like, the guy looks to the point. He looks like he is really enjoying it here. And if he's going to play like this, he's worth the $8 million that he got paid from Buffalo this year. And it's something that the Bruins would have to consider
a
reasonable price point for the guy. Now, in their world, maybe
not so much.
I was going to say,
when you look at Bergeron, Marshall, and Pasternak all making less than that.
That's the hard part, is do you get the guy to sort of buy in a Brady type way?
Well, you'll find out just how much the happiness and winning is worth for Taylor Hall. Because at the end of the year, they will offer him something.
Yep.
And it's a matter of, does this guy who's only going to play in however many games, half a season in a playoff run, is that the type of guy that takes a hometown discount? Or is that the type of guy that's like, you know what, I'm still pretty young, somebody will see this, and I'll go, and you know what, this isn't the only team that can win. Other teams can win. I just won't sign in Buffalo again like I did after last year.
It makes me wonder if a deep run helps or hurts his cause. In that, if say the Bruins go on to win the cup, right?
Oh, then he's
like, I got my ring. See you. helps him make money.
Yeah, helps him make money.
But, like, does maybe going to an East final and coming up a little short
but then
make
also,
him say, oh, yeah. I can get paid and we still have work to do?
Yeah, it's interesting because you look at the Tampa Bay Bucks this year and they win the whole thing and all their guys wanted to come back. Now, they gave a lot of them some good money, but they all wanted to come back and run it back again. So is that the motivation?
And like, they had the key guy say, oh, yeah, with a couple of strokes of the pen, you can hand me a check and free up a bunch of funny money.
So I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to have that decision to make either way, and there will be some team out there that sees what he's done here and offer him probably more than what the Bruins did. But again, the Bruins have had sort of a magic touch with some of their own players where, hey, Pastrnak, you just wait a couple years, you're going to make a lot more money. And he's like, no, I'll sign now, and I'll sign this extension. And you're like, okay. You're like a 50-goal scorer. Like you could have made, he could have made almost twice as what he's making.
It's the Jerry Reinsdorf line, right? You sign this now, you're going to be happy with it, right? You're not going to come
back
to me.
$1 million a year, Scott. He's pretty good. Yeah. You're going to want this.
617-779-7937. Are the Celtics gooses cooked? Or is there opportunity to evaluate the team a little differently? And are you with Rich and Scheim on the whole, this is just going to allow Danny Ainge to run it back, and it ain't going to matter? 617-779-7937. We'll get to that, but right now, let's trend.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
I'd love to see Stevens gone.
Somebody needs to go as the coach. He's a college coach. Stands in their work because it was just bad.
I think it's time for a coaching change. I think playing for Brad Stevens is sort of like going to war with Leave It to Beaver.
Get rid of Brad Stevens, man. This guy's bugging me out. They got kids dead, 27 turnovers last night, and you can't come up with a win?
If you're asking me between the two, Tatum and Brown, I'd rather have Brown.
This situation, though, it's gonna add layers of complexity. 10:34, Gresham Keefe on the WEI Sports Radio Network. Hello to Providence, the Cape, Portland, Springfield, Keene, New Hampshire, and Worcester. Good morning to all of you in Celtics Nation. Talking about this team at 617-779-7937. So this could go really, really, really bad for the I Hate Brad Stevens crew.
Because
think about it.
You went around
without Jaylen Brown, and you do it by beautiful ball movement, and they play defense, and all of these things that we have been waiting for the Celtics to sort of pull together, right? You take Jaylen Brown out of the mix, and in a lot of ways, everything then goes through Tatum, right? It's Evan Fournier. But it just makes me pause for a moment that for as much as you're on
the opposite.
Hey, man, they're going to run it back, if they show some life here, it's going to be, well, Brad did a really good job with the pieces that were given to him, and he can strengthen a case to not get run out on a rail.
Because it went so well the last time when Kyrie Irving went down, and they went on a run, and then they just convinced themselves that they were NBA champions for the last four
years. That's right.
So they have that part going for
them. There's nothing that you can do to the 20-year-old to get them to think otherwise.
There isn't. Now, I know, Bill Simmons for years wrote about the Ewing effect, right, where you take out the best player and the team goes on a little bit of a run, and you're like, well, how does that happen? And not that Brown's, in my mind, better than Tatum, but he's one of your two best players.
Yes.
And could some kind of run happen? I don't think so. I really don't. And that's why I think the news yesterday that he's done for the entire year is a double whammy of negativity, because any kind of potential run they could have gone on, the, oh my God, where has this team been? And they win 2-3 rounds based with the two All-Stars leading the way. That to me is out. That scenario is gone. And then doubling down, Danny Ainge could convince himself that, yeah, we never really had the full group, and next year's the year that we're going to have the full group, and they're going to talk about the number of minutes that their star players have played together and the age and all this other stuff, and it's just more of an excuse to bring everything back. So, yeah, it was, to me, horrible. I can't find the positive in Brown going down.
I keep thinking, okay, now what matchup are they going to get? You know, they're going to get Brooklyn, and you would think that I wonder if without Jaylen Brown, Brooklyn now looks at the Celtics, if that's the matchup, and they get into the whole, All right.
See, I think you might
beat these guys.
I think you're going too far down the road. Without Jaylen Brown, do they even get a real playoff matchup?
Oh, I would think so.
You think they can win the play-in tournament?
They can. I don't know. Well, all they got to do is beat Charlotte, right? And then they're the 7, and then they're okay.
But even with Brown, they couldn't beat Charlotte. So I think they could lose to Charlotte, and then they could lose to Westbrook and Beal, and then you're just sitting on the outside being like, what happened? We didn't even make the playoffs this year.
Well, if you're looking for a teardown, and I'm not saying I'm talking about for those, the royal you that are out there who are looking for the teardown, then isn't that exactly what you want? You want them to lose those two play-in games? Because even though Danny would be able to say it, there's no way everyone in that organization would look at Danny and feel the same. Like,
no,
if he's the one who would be the catalyst to say it, but if they get beat against, they still have enough talent to beat whomever it is in the play-in tournament. I mean, from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, they should.
But if you're looking for the roof to cave in, and they didn't even make the quote-unquote traditional playoffs even without Jaylen Brown, there's no way everyone in that organization looks at Danny and says everything is okay.
Yeah, I guess. I just feel like if you lost the play-in with Jaylen Brown, then I'm with you. Then you have to say, what's going on? Like, Wick has to say to Danny, so we're really just running this back? Like, how? But without Jaylen Brown, I think it at least opens up the door to that possibility. And also, I don't know who's calling for a complete teardown. I know you said I wasn't, but because I don't know what that even would really mean. Because this team, over the last 8 years, has had a lot of roster turnover anyway.
Yep.
So Kemba Walker seems like he's pretty unmovable. I guess if you're talking about any kind of major shakeup to the roster,
teardown to me would be removing one of the big two.
Right.
Basically, trading Jaylen Brown.
So Tatum to me is as close to untradeable as possible. I think
I don't even listen.
In the NBA, everybody's tradable, but there's probably only a few guys in the league that you would actually swap Tatum for, and those teams aren't trading those guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like that's why I would say he's as close to untradeable as it gets. Whereas Brown, he's tradable. Smart is tradable. Kemba Walker, because of his contract and his injury, probably isn't. But if you move on, like, hey, they swapped out Grant Williams for another version of Grant Williams, like, that doesn't do anything. That's not changing the team. It's just another new face that Brad has to meet and figure out how to use.
And it makes me wonder, is there an opening now for Evan Fournier to put the flag in the ground and say,
there is.
I want to be here. Or hey, if I am a part of this, this is what they can be. And I guess a part of, look, more than just you and I being on a little bit of different spectrum talking about the Celtics, this does open up a lot of different avenues for the organization to run down based on whatever they see. And I notice it's the whole, in air quotes, whatever they see, because during this run, I think you're going to have people seeing different things. It could be, by God, we can't live without Jaylen. It could be, we can live without Jaylen if we go get this. It could be, well, you take that guy out of the mix, and it's much easier for Stevens to coach this group. I think it now creates almost more questions going into whatever they're going to be in the playoffs, because then it's going to be beauty in the proverbial eye of the beer holder.
I think it's a negative for almost everybody, but I think there could be a chance for three guys to sort of emerge as, hey, this could be spun positive.
Yep.
Evan Fournier is one. He's going to get more shots. He's going to start, and if he looks good, whether it's here or somewhere else, can cash in. Aaron Nesmith, I think, is going to have to play more and is going to be relied on to knock down outside shots.
Agree.
And you already mentioned it, Brad Stevens. If they do anything at this point, it's kind of back to the early Brad Stevens teams where, hey, we didn't really have a lot of talent, and we somehow were able to win games with a lack of talent.
Do you consider at all Tatum elevating his play to another level? Because to me, my number one thing, believe it or not. And it's not him, Rich, going from scoring 30 a game to 38 a game, right? It's not a Steph Curry effect.
No.
It's more of the, can Jason Tatum still score and be able to facilitate others on the floor in doing so? Because now there isn't another person who, quote unquote, has to have the ball at some point.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I just already assume he's going to have monster numbers. And the winning hasn't really been there, whether Brown is there or not. I think Brown's missed 10 games this year. The team's 5-5. So, like, in those opportunities,
that's
they're
right,
500.
5-5.
They're kind of a 500 team, even with them, without them. You know what I mean? It's kind of this.
And then you get into the whole, who else did you have? Like, was it when Fournier was there and the part-time Lord and all that? To the phones we go. 617-779-7937. Steve in the car, first up. Regression Keith talking Celtics. Hi, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Great fan of the show. Great show today, as always. I hate to quote Keith, but this team stinks. This has nothing to do with whether or not Jalen's going to be playing for the rest of the season. This team has tuned Brad out. You can't really coach defense and rebounding. It's all about effort, and this team has neither one of those skills right now. I just think that I think the worst thing that could happen is if this team goes on a run because with less talent. But I agree with you, Keith. I don't think it's going to happen. I just think that Brad is the problem. He has been for a while, and that's about it. I'll hang up and listen. And
Steve, thanks. See, thanks. I think Steve's point could be proven if we see the total tune out here, right? Because now it's Jalen's out. Come on, boys, let's go. We got to come together here, right? If they don't come together and they're just out there doing whatever it is, then I think you can start to finally have your on-court evidence for real, without question.
Well, then
this team is tuning Brad out.
And I think what he could also get is Marcus Smart saying, "All right, guys, I got you." And he takes 20 shots, he makes 4 of them, and the team's like, "What are we even doing?" Like, I think that is in play. That's absolutely
even more than Kemba saying, "Oh no, those shots are mine."
Kemba might take them, but there's still a lot of shots to go around. I mean, that Brown
averages over 19.
Fournier's
going to get more now, right?
Fournier will, but I mean, you just know Smart is absolutely going to think he's the guy to fix all this.
Game 1, 6-9 from 3, just and your yep. head's going to explode. Phil in Maine has got an issue with me. Hi, Phil.
Yeah, you're going off the rails here with Jalen Brown. I qualify myself as a Cal graduate, and I saw him play every freshman game he played. And I moved to Maine 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm an adopted Celtics fan. But this constant hangering or desire to trade Brown has always befuddled me. And the guy he's a winner. He's not a leader. He wasn't a leader in college. He's a team player. And I actually want him to get traded to the Warriors. If they got that guy and a big, watch out.
Well, if they send a Steph Curry, it's okay. Here's why Jalen Brown is now in the spot that he's in, is because if you're going to improve this basketball team, you have to give something up. And right now, the most valuable asset outside of the one you don't want to give up, which is Tatum, is Brown. It's not necessarily an indictment on the player individually. It's more of an indictment of what they haven't been able to do here, and he might be the guy that you dangle in trade to bring in the person that allows you to complete this puzzle.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, again, Jalen Brown being traded because we want to break through. They're like, how do the Celtics change what's going on?
That's right.
And we can't sit up here and say, what can you get for Marcus Smart and Time Lord? Like, let's draw up these different trade scenarios. You got to be realistic.
Yeah.
And Jalen Brown is a good player. Like, to the caller's point, he's a good player. All-star for the first time this year. If you're ranking all the guys, I know the Ringer had him outside their top 25, but he's close. He's probably definitely a top 30 player in the NBA who's young, and so he's probably on the rise, so you can get something for him. And just say, you know, the one that we keep going back to is Bradley Beal. Do you think Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal or Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown? Which duo is going to win more games over the next 4 or 5 years? I think it would be Tatum and Beal.
I'm with you on that, and I don't live in the fear that 4 years down the road with Jason Tatum on this team that we're going to be going, oh my God, they're going against Washington and Jalen Brown. And that, again, that's no disrespect to him individually as a person or a player, but that to me isn't the kind of guy that is going to come back and stick the dagger in your chest. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. We are taking your thoughts on our old 3T at Gresh Keefe on Twitter. You can also Twitch and watch this show. Well, you could Twitch watching this show. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or WEEI.com/watch and text 37937. The world is missing the boat on Tim Tebow. This is not that hard. People are getting outraged, really for no reason whatsoever. We'll put it all into perspective next.
As the world reopens again, make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine. And if you missed a show, download the podcast at WEEI.com.
My understanding is that Tim Tebow is expected to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his former college coach, Urban Meyer, this according to me and my colleague, Tom Pelissero, right there. Nothing is done yet, But this is expected to be official in the next week or so. And we will see where this goes for here. But yes, in the next few days, in the coming days, Tebow expected to be back in the NFL.
Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, with the report of the big news yesterday in the NFL. I love it. I heard a guy yesterday on the four-letter network say, well, you know, it's very curious that Tim Tebow is getting this opportunity when Colin Kaepernick is sitting at home. And I'm sure they're related. And I said an expletive, and I said, this guy's a blank, 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 and I walked out of the room.
Smart.
And
that was good. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have done that.
No, you might have broken your TV 10 years ago, you're right. I would have broken my TV, or I would have had some guy in New Hampshire who loves him some Jesus screaming at me that the reason I don't like Tim Tebow is because I don't like people who worship the Lord or something like that. But
not the case.
The Lord is a part of this, in my opinion.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
How so?
I think this is...
He made it happen.
Oh, well, there's that. Of course, he made all of us happen.
Okay, fair enough.
I think this is real simple, okay? Everybody's turned to, oh, my God, he's getting an opportunity. Here's what he is, folks.
Yeah.
He is a caddy. That's what he is. Tim Tebow is going to be the caddy for Trevor Lawrence. Think about this. I know everybody loves Gardner Minshew, and he has number 15 right now,
right?
Love
Gardner Minshew, yeah.
Tim Tebow's got plenty of money to be like, hey, dude, I'll actually buy you a new pickup truck, right? And go get 15. Now, even if he doesn't get the number 15, he can be a tight end with a skinny guy number now, right?
So he'd be any number he wants.
So here's what's going to happen. They're going to put Tebow right beside Trevor Lawrence in that locker room. They are both lovers of the Lord, so they're going to connect that way. Mm-hmm. They're very much into their religion, and I ain't making fun of it.
No,
I'm just saying that that's a part of it.
Yep.
And it's going to be, well, Trevor, here's what coach really means. Trevor, here's why coach is doing this. Trevor, you know Tim Tebow's going to be? The de facto mental coach. He will be the backup quarterback that could go normally, drinking with the starter.
Yeah, not for
and
him.
The, and the starter.
Holy water, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but with those
I understand.
Two.
Like a little QB whisperer, like a real adult in the room. And then some.
And I half jokingly mean this, is that, you know, who would you rather have leading the team prayer? Tim Tebow or some guy you bring into your building who wants to go run the Houston Texans like Jack Easterby?
Tebow. Give me Tebow every single time. Everybody be like, oh, how did this happen? It's pretty obvious how it happened. His former college coach is now the NFL coach in his hometown, God's sakes. So add the whole thing together, and they're giving him a shot. He's not the starting quarterback. In fact, he's not even going to be a quarterback.
That's the point.
He's going to play like H-back. I wouldn't be surprised if they find a couple of plays a game for him to use, or even if he's a decoy. Just because teams are like, oh, what's Tebow's in motion.
Yep.
So even if you don't, you got to at least pay attention. You got to move the linebacker out. You got to do something.
Line
when you see
Tebow
it happen.
And TT up in the backfield. Trevor Lawrence up in the backfield.
Be creative. Because also what happened is Tebow might have gotten another chance in the NFL. He hasn't been in the NFL, by the way, or at least played an NFL game in 9 years.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. So I understand that part. He was in a couple of other camps, including this one here in New England, but he was adamant for a while that he was a quarterback. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. And I think the comfort level he has with Urban Meyer is you can't even compare that to anybody else in the league. So he feels like this is a safe spot. You know it's Lawrence's job. It's not even up for debate whose job it is. And then, you know, have a couple of packages where he's involved. Maybe some goal line stuff. Okay, cool.
Right. This isn't hard. And look, I tried to say it entertainingly and have some fun with it. But when you look at Tim Tebow and Trevor Lawrence, there's a lot of similarities there. The way they live their life off the field, the way they prepare on the field, the fact that those guys are about football, no question. But what do they also do? They buy into the team concept. Like, if Trevor Lawrence could have been a royal pain in the ass at Clemson because he was Trevor Lawrence. He had all the stroke. Yeah. And instead, you hear that he was one of the dudes. And I really do believe this. As much as I railed on Tim Tebow for not being a great player, that's not a bad human being to bring into an organization that you're trying to rebuild, and they'll sell a butt ton of jerseys.
And I think another one of those guys, too, where he has as much experience being just famous
yes.
as he does even being a football player.
And really helping Trevor Lawrence yeah. and all that transition.
Right, and not that I don't think Trevor Lawrence is necessarily going to need all of that help, but Tebow kind of understands how something that they say gets picked up more so than if Minshew or Jake Luton or whoever mm-hmm. else, C.J. Beathard, say something. That'll disappear. Nobody will know. But if Trevor Lawrence does anything, if Tebow does anything, it's a headline. It's a national story.
This ain't hard to figure out.
No, and I think that can even help some of the other guys on the team.
Absolutely.
Like Travis
Again,
Etienne and DJ Chark and whoever
else. And if Tim Tebow gets cut, you could find a million roles for that guy.
Yeah.
You could make him an assistant. You can put him in the front office. There's a lot of different things you can do with Tim Tebow.
I'm fascinated by it.
I dislike the player Tim Tebow, but the person yeah. Tim Tebow is somebody that you want around. And sure. it would be, just for the pure entertainment value, because you're right. Like Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow could both take the snap. Teams' heads are going to explode, and fans will too. 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports talk coming up next. We will talk to Tommy Curran, but first, Andy Hart's got a column on WEEI.com, and two nuggets we're going to take out of it to discuss. That's next.